Amen. Good morning. Nice, refreshing rain outside, slow and easy, and cutting down on the fire hazard, and all the little leaves look happier today, and lots of leaves out there, millions of leaves out there, bright green, and with all the hope of summer and the fruit that'll come from their work. God does amazing things through leaves. Does amazing things through leaves, and today, this evening, we're starting at 6 o'clock this evening from 6 to 8 tonight, and 6 to 8 tomorrow night, and 6 to 8 on Tuesday night will be the three nights of our VBS classes, and then from 7 to 8 on Wednesday will be our wrap-up session for Vacation Bible School. So today we're not going to have a Bible class time, and we're not going to have lunch together. We're foregoing those two items so that we can come back this evening and gather together from 6 to 8 for Vacation Bible School. And it's all on creation. Looking at creation from an Alaska point of view. Creation as Alaskans look at God's creation. And so all of the classes have scripture, but then bring in the unique and the special features that we have up here in Alaska. And I appreciate that song, Barry. Thanks for all your song leading. But that song, There Is a God, a creator God, is what that song sings about. That song was written in the 60s. And my understanding of that song is that it was in response to the cover story of Time Magazine. Time Magazine had a black cover in the mid-60s, and it read, Is God Dead? Philosophically, scientifically, they were claiming to see a loss in the confidence of faith. In fact, the opposite was occurring, but they weren't looking in the right place. And the writer of that song, I believe, was in response to that message. But the message that God is dead was something started by Nietzsche in the 1800s. He used to write in his philosophy teachings that we have killed God, Nietzsche predicted that since in the 1800s, and he was talking about Darwinism and the rest of the stuff, Nietzsche predicted that since humankind had killed God in the 1800s, that the 1900s, the 20th century, would be the bloodiest century on record. Because there would be no parameters. There would be no moral boundaries to stop mankind from great wrong against itself. And unfortunately, he was quite right about that. Horribly right about that. The 20th century was the worst century of all mankind. We did more harm to ourselves in the 20th century than all the others added together. And it's a warning. It's a serious warning of what happens when you take God out of the equation. What happens when your faith and confidence that there is a creator God, when that gets pulled back, what happens to your own life? What happens to your community? What happens to your nation? What happens to relationships between nations when you don't have a God? Well, this Vacation Bible School, we're gonna take our own little stand here. We're a small group in a small place, but it's going to be a solid stand that God is our creator, that we are confident. So our Vacation Bible School will have all the joy and all the fun and all the confidence of standing up for who God is and pointing him out with conviction. We're going to be focused on children, and that's today's lesson. We're going to be focused on children in the next few days. What a good thing to focus on. In Mark chapter 10, verse 13. Mark chapter 10, verse 13. In the famous exchange, they were bringing children to Jesus. They were bringing children to him so that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. And said to them, permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all. And he took them in his arms and began blessing them and laying his hands on them. Got a couple of parents in the room. And since there are a couple of parents here, I can confidently say there are people in this room who have gone through deep frustrations, anguish, almost literal hair-pulling anguish. I remember being so confused and so frustrated as a father. We had Dobson's books, you know. We had, whenever Dobson would come up with a new book in the 80s, we just bought it. I had no idea what the topic was. I just bought it because I needed help as a dad. And Carol would drive down, we'd drive down the road sometimes, and Carol would read to me from these books, usually on her initiative than mine. But I remember literally being so confused and so frustrated as a parent that I grabbed his books off the shelf, Dobson's books, Dr. Dobson's books, and I was looking for an 800 number. There's got to be an 800 number. I need advice. I got to call somebody. I got to call somebody because what seemed to make sense wasn't working and what... It's a challenge. It's an amazing and serious and wonderful challenge being a parent, but oh, what a joy. What a joy. In the past few years, I remember being frustrated again. I won't mention any of the people I'm frustrated with. But I remember being frustrated again and looking at these smaller people living in my house. And I walked out of the room from one room to another. It was a Wednesday afternoon. And I said to myself, when will they grow up? And I sat down and opened up my Bible and read Mark 10. And Jesus said, Robert, when will you act like a child? The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And unless you do not, if you do not receive the kingdom of God like a child, you can't enter it at all. And that conviction welled up in me so powerfully, I began to weep in preparation. I was working on something for Wednesday night. It cut me so deeply. It was one of those moments, you know? It was one of those moments where I was trying to make my children act like me, and God is trying to get me to act like my children. Children are a powerful thing in God's hands. They are an awesome thing in God's hands. And the problem that Jesus was dealing with in Mark 10, what's going on here is some of the same thing that goes on in our modern society, is that children just get in the way. They just flat get in the way. I got places to go. I got things to do. I want to stay up late, or I want to sleep late, or I want to go to bed early, or I want to go out, or I don't want to go out. I want to, whatever it is on my list of I wants, it doesn't take much to show that a child will get in the way. But God has a totally different scenario in mind. He has a totally different scenario in mind. And in those days, children were being pushed aside similar to the way they're being pushed aside today. We're more institutional and sophisticated about it at times, but children are being pushed aside. And Jesus was saying, don't push aside children. I am going to pay attention to these children. I am going to bless these children. Jesus laid his hands on these children and blessed them, rebuking the crowd, rebuking his own 12 who were stopping the children coming from him, and teaching us all a lesson about priority, teaching us all a lesson to I know Scripture says, look to the heavens. But in this case, he's saying, look to the ground. Look down. Other rebukes have come in my life. C.B. Wise has rebuked me over and over again, almost every Sunday. No, not verbally. Maybe that too, but not verbally. But every Sunday, I see C.B. stopping and talking to all the children. He slows down and stoops down and specifically greets one child after another. He finds the teenagers and says hello to them. Even if it's quick, he stops, and I've watched him, and I've said to myself, Robert, why don't you do that better? What a lesson in somebody acting Christ-like and stopping and paying attention to children, putting in his life the actions that Christ put into his own to say, no, don't you push children away from me. I want to pay attention to children. God has given us children, and they are valuable. They are precious. They are so, so important. Etienne read for us Psalm 128, and it's got a companion psalm right next to it, 127. Let's go there and read that and remind ourselves what we heard in Psalm 128. Psalm 127 reads, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early or retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors. For he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. Read that verse a few times. Consider it. Beloved, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. Steve Cannon did such a good job in talking about children up here. I was going to stand up and say, well, what he said, and just have an invitation song. We did not talk about this. I did mention this lesson to a few people, but I never mentioned it to Steve. And so Steve's conversation about his own family's considerations and their thought on their children and this lesson is more God-connecting thoughts than anything he and I did. But notice how specific. Notice how powerfully specific God is in putting priority on family, on home, and specifically on children, saying, children are a blessing from me. Oh, man, and they are a blessing. What an incredible joy and blessing. They give a depth and a strength and a meaning and a direction to life that nothing else gives. They give a teaching about God our Father. They give an example. They give a powerful effervescence, an encouragement, an extra joy in life that nothing else gives. I know there are families who have wanted children and not been able to have them. And I don't mean for this lesson to bring up any of that sort of pain, because it is real pain when a man and woman, a husband and wife, have wanted children and not been able to have them. And I don't mean to cut into that sore at all. But there are many ways to bless and be blessed by children. God has specific blessings for each one of us. So let me just say that I don't intend any pain or harm in that area. Look to God for your own blessing of children. And in fact, just like C.B., who has no little children in his house right now, but has learned a lot about touching and contacting with children, so can you, whether or not you have children of your own, whether or not you're married, wherever you are in your life, you can slow down and look down and pay attention to children, to their blessing and to yours, to their blessing and to yours. I remember Carol and I building our house here. We moved up here, of course, with our two children. We had wanted to have more children all along, and we're unable to have children. And then we lost a child prematurely. Carol was able to get pregnant, and we lost that child and held each other and wept and wept and wept. And finally, after more efforts, we said, you know, God has blessed us with two beautiful children. We don't need any more. Thank you, Father. We sort of relaxed as minister and wife of this congregation, and then he gave us two more. But in the middle of all that, we're building our house. And going through, Carol's pregnant while we're building the house, and we're going through all of the choices after Isaac was born, and all of the frustrations and all of the pressures that come in with the spending of all that money and the choosing of all those things and all those decisions. And we didn't have enough money, we didn't have enough time, and we get irritated, and things would get prickly and difficult, and then Isaac would come stumbling through the room, cute as a button, and start playing with something, and Carol and I would both melt, go back into each other's arms. Children are a blessing in more ways than we could possibly know. But God is very specific about them being a blessing for us. He's very specific, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. You see, what happens when you have children is they are literally, biologically, your wife and you. They are the husband and the wife. They are literally a combination of two people. Two people who have come together in a committed love. That's why a committed two-person man-woman relationship is so important. That kind of marriage is so important because it matches what God's plan is. That's why premarital sex, or one of the many reasons why premarital sex is so damaging, because a child can end up coming into a situation that doesn't have that commitment and that oneness first before the child comes there for their own direction and security. That's why the pattern of listening to God and following Him and patterning your marriage after Christ and that kind of sacrifice is so important, so that little child can come to a place that's knit together securely, that's close and committed, and they can play and relax, and their joy can be deep, and the joy echoes and comes back to mom and dad and comes back to mom and dad and comes back to mom and dad. As long as you keep looking at it and keep looking to your Heavenly Father as your pattern. So, like arrows in the hand of a warrior are our children. You see, children will do something, almost certainly, children will do something you can't do. They'll go on past your death. You see, they are our future. They are our legacy. They are the future of this congregation. Some of you know the pain and the damage of being ignored as children. Some of you know the awfulness of being pushed aside as children, of being marginalized in church or marginalized in home or made fun of in school, the damage and harm that can come to children who aren't appreciated. And I don't mean spoiled. I don't mean coddled. I'm very much good, intending on cautioning on those things. I mean appreciated. I mean given good work to do. I mean given appropriate things and connections and responsibilities. I mean pulled close to mom, pulled close to dad to spend time with. Those children are like arrows in the hand of a warrior. You know, our combat is not against flesh and blood, says Ephesians 6. Our combat is against Satan and the damage he wants to do to his church. And so we take our children and we give them joy and we give them faith and we show them devotion to God and launch them into the future that we won't be in, that they can take a stand for Christ and for his church. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Look, gentlemen, in both Psalm 127 and Psalm 128, it's talking about the man. Ladies, you're blessed too. But it's talking about the man. Remember, the last verse of the Old Testament, John the Baptist, Elijah is coming back to return the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. John, part of John the Baptist's preparation for Christ's coming was to create an environment where fathers and children's hearts would be reconnected to one another. And these Psalms, like other places, put the man out there first as the point, as the leader, as the blessed one in a family of children. One of the things we've unfortunately taught ourselves in our society is that child care and child rearing is women's work and guys go off and do other things. That's not what Scripture teaches. Men, pull those children close to you. Pull those children close to you. Be active in their days. Talk to them every night. I know some of you guys make it your job as the father to take your children during part of the evening, whether it's tucking in time at bed or dinner time, or some guys make the Saturday morning breakfast is all theirs, and the Saturday morning time is a set aside protected time with children. Whatever it is, protect some time. Specifically, spend that time. It's the character of your children that is so critical and important. It's them knowing you and them seeing you devoted to God. Let's look at Psalm 78 in that regard. Psalm 78. You say to yourselves, yeah, I'd love to have a faith that I want my children to follow. In fact, one of the things that's terrifying to a father, I won't ask for a show of hands, but it's terrifying to this father, is a child that looks at you and says, Daddy, I want to be just like you. And you think, oh, no, you can do a lot better than that. All of your weaknesses, all of your crimes, all of your sins against self and God, and all of your grumpiness against your wife, and all of your laziness, and all of your shallowness of faith, all comes rising up right in front of you. It's just little guys looking at you saying, I want to be just like you. And you think, oh, I want you to be a lot better than that. I want you to be a lot better than that. Psalm 78. Listen, my people, to my instruction. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not conceal them from their children, but tell to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wondrous works that he has done. For he has established a testimony in Jacob, appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may rise and tell them to their children, that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments and not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart, whose spirit was not faithful to God. The sons of Ephraim were archers equipped with bows, and they turned their back in the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law. You see, it's not just the victories that we show our children. And really, he's talking about the weakness and the crimes of generations previous. But this is talking to fathers who themselves know weakness and failure. And he's saying, you tell them about God. You tell them how strong our God is. You tell them how faithful our God is. You tell them how much confidence you can put in God. You tell them the victories that God has had in our life. You show them the joy you've had in knowing about who God is, that they can grow up. Even the children haven't been born yet. You prepare now to teach them that they can teach their children. You know, it's a real weakness in churches of Christ, probably in other churches, but it's a real weakness in churches of Christ where some adults will come to Christ, 20s, 30s, whatever, and they'll have such a joy and such a response that the children will be brought up in a family of focused joy, of kind of an enthusiasm. But those children will grow up with a degree less enthusiasm. This is typical stuff, not you. I'm talking about statistical stuff. And that they'll bring up their children in kind of more of a ho-hum, this is what we always did kind of stuff, lacking some of the enthusiasm that they had seen in their childhood. And by the time you do that a couple of generations, you very quickly have children who aren't faithful to the Lord. The difference is the fire and the focus and the priority. Oh, it's just what we always do. We just show up at church and go home. Wednesday night, well, that's kind of optional. Those things, God isn't optional. God isn't optional. There's nothing in Scripture about showing up on Wednesday night. But when you have a time to meet with your church family, especially in the eyes of your children, you don't let that time go by. You don't miss that time. So the priority we set in our lives is very much imprinted on our children. And we plan, even when the church is boring, even when the lessons are weak, even. You set for your children that there is nothing more important than God and His church. What an awesome life we get to lead in having our children. They are such a blessing to us. They are a gift of God. They will strengthen you, encourage you, grow you, and challenge you in specific ways that your Heavenly Father needs to train you, encourage you, challenge you, and grow you. And if you miss the lesson by what the crowd was trying to do with Jesus, by pushing the children away, you've missed so much of God's growth for who you are and what you need. So, number one, children are a gift of God. Number two, children are arrows that need to be sharpened and aimed. Your teaching, your direction, your focus, your priority, your shaping their character with godly messages is the preparation of that arrow that it can fly far and straight and effectively. Notice that in Psalm 127:5, that the man is blessed whose quiver is full of them. He will not be ashamed when he speaks with when the man speaks with his enemies at the gate. The gate of the city was where business was conducted. The gate of the city was where serious issues were discussed. And the man whose family is filled with children who listen to him and who trust in the Lord and obey their mama and help take care of things at home, that man can stand at the gate in the face of his enemies with strength and confidence, because those little ones at home have put him in a place of strength and confidence through God. The children change and strengthen the father. It's an amazing transition. It's an amazing transition. The children become a strength in the home. It's quite amazing. Read these scriptures on your own. Study them. So we need to be a church that honors mothers and fathers, that gives priorities to families, that encourages parents, that helps people who want to stay home to take care of their children at home, that doesn't tug on people, you've got to do this and you've got to do that, when their alternative is to guide their children, is to have a Saturday morning with their children, is to do things with their children, that we think that their priority, what God has done to that man and woman, is giving them little ones. God makes them little so you can pick them up, you know. All you can do with a teenager is hug them. But you got to do that too. Got to hug them. They need hugs. Don't ever, 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 ever stop hugging your children or give up on them. You have frustrations or struggles, pull them closer. Don't push them away. Pull them closer. Spend more time especially if they don't want to spend time with you. Spend more time with them. We need to honor grandparents and great-grandparents for the work they do with the children. We need to honor pseudo-grandparents and all of the aunts and uncles in the congregation. You're all going to be an aunt or an uncle again soon as the Shipleys are due to give birth to another little one. What a great place to be as we get to be in this environment where we literally share our children. The children can run up to almost any one of us with their arms up, and you'll scoop them up and talk to them and carry them around. You see the kids, they go every which way. You got to figure out, need a chart to figure out who's holding whose child around here. What a blessing that is. And this week is our vacation Bible school week that we get to have that priority for day after day. This time that's a Bible school for children is a Bible school for all of us to celebrate children, to come and enjoy the children, to prioritize our lives around children. It's important, and it's God's blessings. We need to support single parents, step parents, foster parents, and we have been so blessed with those types of parents here, so richly blessed. With parents, adopted children, blended families, all kinds of situations. The children are still children. The children still need picked up and hugged. The children still need mentored and guided and loved and cared for, regardless of how the family got put together. We need to be a congregation that loves and pays attention to children. What a blessing. What an awesome and incredible blessing we have from our Heavenly Father. One child after another born here. That's why I cringe sometimes when the baby's crying, but that's just that side of me. I'm thrilled that we have a family environment that's relaxed enough that we want the children with us. We don't push them away off to a side classroom. We don't push them away to get them out of here so it'll be nice and settled and quiet. And we can be studious and do the proper things. No, we are families built the way God built families. Dads and moms and children, the way God made children, made families to be. Thank you so much for your love of Christ and your love of children. Thank you so much for taking care of the little ones around here. This is a lesson just to remind us of God's blessings in that we look down a bit and pay attention. I got a challenge. You want a challenge? I got a challenge for you. Learn the names of all the children of the families in the congregation. Whew, I heard somebody say. The parents are tough enough getting all the names of the congregation straight. Finally, you can do that. Now, their children's names are... And we run back and look at the picture board, which is all right. That's why it's there. Call the children by name. What a blessing. You know, Jesus said that he gave a strong warning in Matthew 18. I never got around to that verse. That if anyone causes one of these little ones to sin, it would be better for a millstone to be tied around his neck and him to be tossed into the sea. God is very serious about taking care of children and not bringing them into harm, not letting things harm them. But there's another meaning of that. Because Jesus is talking about children who believe in him. And as John writes in 1 John, he calls all of us little children. It's a different word between what Jesus said in Matthew and the one John uses. But he calls all of us little children. Because before our Heavenly Father, we are indeed little children. So if there's any this morning who have not been baptized into Christ, if you have not been made a child, reborn, rebirthed, reborn child of God, that you can be a little child in God's family. This is a great time to do it. If you have any other needs that we can help you with, let us help you with that. Please come forward while we stand and sing.